everybody knows that all the people don't have liberty, all the people don't have freedom, all the people don't have justice, and all the people don't have power, so that means none of us do.
Our generation is going to be recruited to fight these endless wars. These endless wars.
We will throw our bodies into the machine.
When you terrorize some of us, you terrorize every single one of us.
Tell them to turn off CNN. Tell them to turn off Fox News. The war is not in Iraq. It's on my block.
I will put my body on the line every single day until this war comes to an end.
We must keep resisting, keep fighting, and never give up.
It is the business of the future to be dangerous.
Indie Bay presents Enemy Combatant Radio every other Sunday on Calex's Amandla at 5:30 p.m.
It has been a dark week in the Gaza Strip, with the already critical situation in Palestine intensifying after Israeli Defense Forces tanks rolled into the refugee camp of Rafah, demolishing homes and displacing over 1,000 people. According to a UN report, since October of 2001, 2,018 homes have been destroyed in the Gaza Strip, making 18,382 people homeless. Of those, more than half were in the Rafah camp, where 1,309 houses have been razed. On the 17th, IDF troops began a campaign of aggressive force to isolate the camp from humanitarian aid from the rest of Gaza and neighboring Egypt. The situation exploded on the 19th as peaceful demonstrations against the incursion into Rafah were attacked by IDF tank shells, leaving 23 dead, most of whom were women and children. The killings continued the next day with IDF troops taking the lives of 9 more and rounding up all the Rafah men. Amnesty International has released a report condemning the mass punishment of the camp as a war crime, and hundreds marched in Tel Aviv to protest the killings. Here in the U.S., the number one sponsor of Israel's occupation in Palestine, protests have been held all over the country. ECR spoke with Mira Fatianaten of Sustain. Stop U.S.-funded tax aid to Israel now.
So Rafah is a refugee camp in the Gaza Strip in Palestine, and basically it's an escalation of things that have been happening in Palestine, you know, for over 50 years. But this last week has been one of the most violent weeks in history. Hundreds of homes have been demolished. I think estimates are that close to 2,000 people are homeless from just the last week in Rafah. There are different estimates, depending on which news source you read, of how many people were killed, in the tens and dozens of people at the very least. This week, there was a demonstration, a peaceful demonstration, of mostly women and children demonstrating against the invasion into Rafah and demonstrating against this illegal roll-in of tanks, IDF forces, the Israeli Defense Forces, and protesters were shot upon.
The UN Security Council met this week to vote on a resolution condemning the killings. The U.S. was the only country to abstain from the vote. As a result of international criticism for Operation Rainbow and the mounting deaths, Ariel Sharon has publicized a pullout plan from the Gaza Strip. Sara Nafisi is a Palestine solidarity activist.
Their larger pullout plan, Ariel Sharon's larger pullout plan that he's trying to get passed, is to totally leave Gaza while still maintaining control of the borders, the harbor, and the airport. So really sort of solidifying the fact that the Gaza Strip is an open-air prison. They don't really have much sort of historical mandate to keep Gaza as they do in the West Bank. So it's sort of like this game they're playing, you know, we'll leave Gaza in an effort to get more of the West Bank.
Here in San Francisco, a protest was held outside of Congresswoman Nancy Pelosi's office, demanding that she take a stand against the occupation and attack on the Rafah camp. 20 people sat in at her office, and 15 people total were arrested by the end. Mira speaks again about the protest.
So Friday there was an emergency protest at the federal building at Nancy Pelosi's office. Some people were wondering why we were at Nancy Pelosi's office. She came out against President Bush, calling him an incompetent leader. At the same time, she receives a lot of money from Israeli lobbyists. She, if you hear any of her statements about Israel, they're very pro-Israel. And while she might be progressive on other issues, we don't feel like that's enough.
Shanina Myra was one of the arrestees and talks about why she was willing to risk arrest in order to highlight the crisis in Palestine.
You know, there are about $3 million of tax money a day that end up going to the U.S., going from the U.S. to Israel to support its illegal occupation of Palestine. And it's really been escalating, as you know, in the last few months. I mean, this is the worst violence they've had since the beginning of the Second Intifada.
This past Wednesday, the East Bay Express ran a cover story centered on the hostile educational environment suffered by Jewish student Mickey Weinberg as a result of pro-Palestinian sentiment on campus. Less than three pro-Palestinian sources were quoted in the paper's lengthy article, which portrayed Muslims and their sympathizers as dangerous fanatics. Sara Nafisi was one of many who called the reporting not only inaccurate, but irresponsible.
I think the main premise of the article is that because there's so much pro-Palestinian activism at Berkeley, it is now a place of intolerance. And I think that's a fallacy. It's a false premise to start with. So in having that as their premise, the rest of the article really lacked any content or substance. I mean, Jewish American men, unless they're from these Middle Eastern countries as well, are not being subject to deportations, to registrations, to hate crimes in the same way that Muslim men are, Muslim women are, Sikh men are, you know, South Asians are. The amount of hate crimes against those groups are totally on the rise. And I also remember walking onto campus, as Mickey Weinberg did after 9/11, and seeing the big rolls of butcher paper and looking down to see what our fellow students wrote. And he failed to mention that there were just as many nuke the Middle East, die Arab dies. You know, it was all over. There was so much hatred for the Middle East, so much misconception, so much ignorance as well. But that does not get the same political legitimacy as anti-Semitism, because there has been this long history of anti-Semitism. It's true. But we need to look at the current history where there is so much Islamophobia. There is so much fear and hatred of the Middle East and everything, everyone from there, everyone who might be from there.
A good deal of the article was also focused on the subjugation of Muslim women, with observations about their repressive attire and lack of freedom.
In the article, at a protest, there were a few women in hijab and headscarves, and two pro-Israel people sort of made this offhand comment. Two men, by the way, made this offhand comment like, oh, well, how would those two women feel to be, quote, clitorisized, which I would like to note is not a word. But he was referring to clitoridectomy, which does not, in fact, happen in the Arab world, would not happen to these women. And what the hell does he, what right does he have to even talk about that? And to sort of scoff at both clitoridectomy, to scoff at those Muslim women in their hijab is totally offensive, totally ridiculous, and shows a lack of understanding on any of the subjects he was trying to prove a point about. Islam, clitoridectomies, you know, feminism, and religion.
Sara says that one of the best ways that people can voice their dissent is by challenging the media, especially when it comes to showing casualties.
Why isn't it on the front page? Where's their picture? I'd like to see their picture. I want to know what town they were from. I'd like to know their names. I'd like you to interview their mothers. I'd like to know why those kids were out on the street and why they don't have a school to go to anymore. I'd like to know why they can't go and play in the next village over because there's a checkpoint. So basically, I feel like people should be educating themselves when the media can just sort of run amok with their racism and nobody checks them. They're just going to do it more. They're going to do it to other groups. It's just totally going to be totally out of control. And so, you know, we got to be there to check them, check our lawmakers.
For Enemy Combatant Radio on Kallax's Amandla, I'm Sunny Anarchy. Visit us on the web at www.enemycombatantradio.net.